as the divine feminine spirit continues to awaken with each one of us through her gentle and compassionate voice, the winds of change will continue to break down the old and the outworn system of patriarchal global dominance. While on one hand, this process can seem daunting and even overwhelming at times, it can become effortless if you can allow yourself to simplify your life, right? Each one of us are being called to do just this. And in so doing, you'll release the struggle and begin to move into living authentically and in harmony with nature and Mother Earth. Now, living authentically is what the Divine Feminine is here to reestablish on our beautiful planet. And we are being asked to wake up and live harmoniously with our nature, thereby creating a new heaven on earth. As women, mothers, sisters, daughters, grandmothers, and every other role that we women play in the world, it is our time to stand up and be heard and to reclaim our rightful place in the world. It will be up to us to ensure that the children of the world are safe. It is what we are being called to do now with the reemergence of our divine feminine will. So hello, everyone, and welcome into Affirmations for Living. I am your host, Reverend Edvige, and Affirmations for Living is all about affirming a positive way of living. It is your birthright to live with passion and purpose and to prosper. Imagine, if you will, that right now, in this very moment, you can gain the confidence and the courage to do just that. We offer many tools and services to assist you on your journey. From our 13 categories of affirmations, we have guided meditations, downloadable MP3 lessons from my master series. We even offer one-on-one spiritual life coaching with me. What do you want, whether it be health, wealth, happiness? So visit us today, affirmationsforliving.net. And of course, always remember that change begins with a single thought. And so here we are. This week, my guest is Dionne Q. Blackwell. She is the author of Sacred Sundays. Dionne coaches women towards finding sacred space through your body temple, through your thoughts, your emotions, within your home, and, well, quite honestly, all environments. Finding space puts one in their path for identifying the reason for being. Her book is also a great tool for women facing health challenges, professional women burned out from work, mothers, or anyone responsible for and serving others. It's so important that we, as divas and superwomen, right, we must dethrone for a moment to give ourselves permission to remove the spiritual amnesia, the resistance, the procrastination, and the fears blocking who we truly are and not who we have become in that outside world. So it's really about taking our power back, and that's what we're going to be sharing today. So I invite you to call in with your questions as we discover who we truly are and how to create that sacred Sunday space every day. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, that number is 323-203-0815. Indeed. So, I hope to have a really good show today, and stay tuned. Hello, everyone. We are back, and of course, this is Affirmations for Living, and I am your host, indeed, Reverend Edvige. My guest is with me, Dionne Q. Blackwell, so welcome her in. Hello, Dionne. How are you doing?
I'm great this evening. How are you?
I am wonderful. You know, it's like just enjoying life and doing the best we can, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, a mutual friend of ours introduced us via the telephone, and we've had a couple of conversations now, and they've just been, well, beyond delightful, but just, you know, profound in our experiences and how these experiences really are causing this expansion and how we are each doing our soul purpose. You know, and as I'm reading your story, your bio, it definitely is fascinating. And so if you would just give the audience just a little background about you first.
Okay, well, I live in Chicago, and when I first started Nirvana was a situation where I had been working for government for about 20 some odd years, and I had a most fascinating experience where spirit came into my bedroom one night, and my bedroom window became the sky, the clouds. And Spirit said to me that my purpose was to teach people how to heal themselves. And not that I had the power, but everyone has the innate power to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at that time in my life, I did not understand that. Okay? And over the next 25 years, the journey has really been about me learning how to heal myself so that I could be the teacher to teach and guide others.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit my job, and I went into the spiritual journey and started studying. And I studied various philosophies because I do not believe that there is just a monopoly on, you know, God is too vast to have a monopoly on him. So I studied various types of religions so that I could really reach and touch everyone at a common thread place where people could understand their true identity once they step outside of the illusion of their body.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been a fascinating journey for me to learn and then for me to be able to just really guide individuals in getting them to understand how their life has become a place where they have the true power to design and develop everything that they want, because their reason for being is simply a place of naturalness in the universe. And so it's our reason that we need to find out what is the true existence of who we are.
Of who we are. So now when you say spirit guided you to show people how to heal themselves, are you talking spiritually heal themselves, physically heal themselves from ailments? I mean, and what did that look like?
Well, at the time in which I had the experience, and now that I can self-reflect, mm-hmm. I was going through a health challenge myself, and the doctor told me that I had lupus. And so I had no idea what lupus was. It was the first time I had ever heard of the word lupus. So me being the type of person that I am, I went and got my health books and I started researching it. And so at that point, I had to first heal my own life. And so the first healing came within a health challenge. So I think that the healing of it is really more in the spiritual healing, because whatever happens on the spiritual level is going to permeate outwardly.
Absolutely. And I call that cause and effect. Yeah. Yeah. That is definitely cause and effect. So everything that's taking place on the outside is the effect of what is going on internally. Your thoughts, your feelings, your spiritual health, and you are the cause. And that's such a hard concept for people to understand. I know I say it all the time on the show, but it is the absolute truth of who you are, that you are the creator of your experience, whether you ask for it or not. You vibrated it and you got what you were matched to. And so that's why it's so very important. And I say it over and over again. It's so very important to pay attention to not only what you're thinking, but what you're feeling, because all of that is energy that moves and creates. So, yeah. And so you healed yourself through this lupus.
I healed myself through the lupus several ways. First of all, I had to step into my divineness.
Mm-hmm.
That was the very first place, because I had just had my son. He was not, I don't think, 2 years old at that point. I had to draw on everything that I had learned from a spiritual perspective and then work that, trust that, step into my divineness. And, of course, learning how to change my diet, eating right, getting enough rest, only to find out that I had been misdiagnosed.
Whoa.
But
you know what, though? What a wonderful experience that was, though, wasn't it, really?
Yes, because it brought me into alignment with who I am in the spirit realm. And I had to let the influence of society and the world go and really get into myself and really figure out who I am and what changes do I need to be making if I believe what I say I believe, if I believe in the I am, if I believe in a higher power, a higher being, in the divine. Then I had to check myself and bring myself into that place of understanding and awareness.
And this was Spirit's way of saying, of making you do that, you know, because you probably wouldn't have done it had you not thought you had lupus. You would have been like, well, okay, nothing broke. I'm not fixing it. So
I would have been just floating on.
Is that not amazing? But, and such a blessing, really.
Absolutely. Because, you know, anytime Spirit wants to get our attention, seriously get our attention, it always comes through health. Always.
Well, you know,
and it always.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Absolutely.
Yeah, it always comes through health, and it will always come through the very weakest point in your body. And so the weakest point in my body was my blood.
Which signifies so much, because the blood, right, the DNA, the genetics, it's the the lineage. So how powerful was that?
Yes.
You know, my listeners know for me, well, I wasn't sick. So what they did, I had a car accident. A car accident weakened my body so that it was something I had to overcome. And that truly is what caused my expansion. Truly what caused me to awaken was that experience, because it was traumatic. And it was fighting my way through that caused me to wake up and realize I'm a divine being. So it's amazing how that will happen. But when it's time, it's time. And you know what? We agreed to have these experiences. And yeah, they definitely are sticking to the plan, aren't they?
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important for we as women to honor our sacredness, because we're already divinely wired.
Yeah.
We are God in expression, but we are not expressing as God. We are expressing as the carnal beings that once we come into this planet, we really forget who we are and what our true reason for being is about.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get caught up into, you know, the external societal earthly things, and society is dictating to us who we should be, what we should look like, and then we develop all of these insecurities and low self-esteem. None of this is real.
None of it is real.
But we have such a difficult time once we get grounded in coming back to the true reason for being we are here. We're here to express ourselves as God and to be the stewards of everything that has been created. But our purpose in life is more carnal, because our purpose in life, we decide, oh, I want to start my own business. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be whatever it is to sustain us while we are here as human beings. But as spiritual beings, we have a much greater purpose or cause, because everything in the universe has a natural form.
Absolutely.
You create your own universe. And that's why I tell people, when they say, well, you know, this happened to me. And I said, well, we create every experience that we have. And so we have challenges taking on the ownership of the experience that we are experiencing, because we don't realize that we created it. No one can come into our life unless we accept it.
Exactly. You know, and it's so very important that we begin the process of gaining back our sovereignty, of pulling ourselves back in and realizing that we're divine and beginning to truly connect to that. And that leads us to your book, Sacred Sundays. So what is the message in your book and how did you come about that? Because, okay, so you go through this process of self-healing. So then what was the next step that took you to creating Sacred Sundays?
Sacred Sundays actually came from a place. I had started writing Sacred Sundays about 10 years ago, and it was supposed to be just a little handbook I was going to give away. And then in creating one of my training manuals, it kind of got stuck, and I never got back to it. So I decided back in 2011 that I was going to finally put Sacred Sundays into manifestation. And it came out of the birth of me taking care of my mom, because what I found out was that I was constantly giving, and I was not taking care of myself. I had slipped away into the giving of caring for my mom, and I had other family members who were also going through some experiences, and I lost a sister. So Sacred Sundays, when I did discover Sacred Sundays in my writings again, I said, oh, it's time. Sacred Sundays is about reaching out to women who are giving the essence of who they are to someone else. And not giving the essence of who they are to themselves.
Wow, that's deep.
And so, to give you an example, one of my favorite examples is that I know every woman on this planet has bath salts. She has candles, she has bubble baths, and all kinds of beautiful things that's wrapped up that she bought at a fair or someone was selling, and they brought it home, put it in the bathroom, and it's sitting on the shelf. And it's probably gathered dust. And we have not given ourselves permission to unwrap it and use it. Because a part of this, part of returning to your essence is doing little things for yourself. It doesn't cost a lot of money to return to the essence of who you are. It's the little things that we need to do. Cleopatra was one of the greatest women on the planet that did sacred baths. She started sacred baths.
Wow. And yet what? We don't find ourselves worthy. We don't want to take the time out to take care of ourselves, yet we want to take care of everyone. We're that superwoman, right?
We're the superwoman.
Not caring enough about ourselves. So now in your first chapter, it says finding the other side of exhale. What does that mean?
Finding the other side of exhale simply means you're giving yourself permission to exhale. You see, these concepts, the concepts are simple. They're not designed to be complicated. We're always looking for the complication in life.
Well, you know why, though? We look for the complication of life so that when we mess up, we have something to blame. Well,
right.
It was so complex. How was I supposed to figure that out? Oh, my goodness. I mean, really? Why don't you make it simple for a girl? Well, guess what? Now it's simple. So now what's the excuse? We're so always looking for outside reasons to not empower ourselves. We're always looking for outside things that are, well, you know, I got to blame this and I got to blame that. So let's make it complex because now I have an escape goat. Guess what? No more escape goats. Stand up, take responsibility for your own life, right?
Absolutely. Because when we leave here, no one will be able to cover our life but ourselves. No one will be able to explain and define why we did or did not but ourselves. But the problem is that we don't give ourselves permission. And we are trying to be someone else or something else and not loving who we were created to be. But the reason we're not loving who we created to be is because we don't know who we are.
Well, and you know what? And that's such an easy thing to fall prey to, because as women, you know, from little girls, what, they give us the Susie Homemaker and they give us these things and they teach us how to cook and, you know, and how they give us the doll. Okay, now you have to take care of this and you have to be responsible for this. And instead of just being a girl and going out and playing like they're letting the boys do, the girls are groomed to be the caregivers, groomed to do this and groomed to be responsible and groomed to have the chores. And you know. And so we lose our identity early on because we're so processed and so programmed that, well, you have to be this way. You have to behave this way. If you do this, you're a bad girl. And if you do that, well, shame on you. You know, no man will want you because you're not worthy of this and him. And it's like they set us up for so many different things instead of allowing us to expand into a fold as our inner self would allow us to do. And so there's a lot to overcome, but we do have the tools, and we have to really just stop where we are and say, you know what, I am a divine being. God essence is within me. I am a goddess, and I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be nurtured. I deserve good in my life, but I have to do these things for myself first.
Right, and I call the forgetfulness spiritual amnesia. We have, because we've forgotten. Once we came into, as our, you know, if we can just imagine ourselves as a banana, and when you peel the skin back of yourself, what do you have? You have invisibility. You are invisible. You can't see, touch, feel, smell yourself. Mm-hmm. But that is the core of who you really are. That is the essence that incarnated into this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And when you leave this earth, you return back to that state of being invisible. Can we imagine ourselves being invisible? Because that is where we're going to find the true nature of who we are and the true nature for our reason of being. But the only way we can get there is giving ourselves permission to learn how to use tools that have been provided for us here on this planet to get us back to that place of our true nature of who we are. Some of us are afraid, and it comes through the form of meditation. Some of us are afraid to meditate. We don't know how to meditate because we fear what we might see about ourselves. Some of us don't have the patience to be still. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and she had injured her ankle. And I said, get in the tub. I said, and, you know, sit in the tub for about 2 hours, have the water. Oh, I can't sit that long in a hot tub of water.
Why not? I'll shrivel up.
As far as she thinks that sitting there for 2 hours is crazy, I think not sitting there for 2 hours is crazy. So, you know, I'm like, but you don't love yourself. You can't stop the clock. You can't give yourself permission to pause because some of us are afraid to see ourselves.
Well, absolutely. And that's why so many don't meditate and have a prayer, a spiritual self, because they're afraid of what they'll truly see. But in order to move forward, to advance on this path of light, you have to connect to your higher God self. And that means going within and being still. And it gets easier because as you go within and you're still, then the true you is revealed. But that's how the true you gets revealed. And so we have to find ourselves worthy. You know, and that's a hard thing, that word. Worthy of taking the time. But, you know, again, we're the caregiver. We got to take care of the spouse, the children. We have the job. We have to cook the meal. And how do we let go of the guilt, right, and say, you know what, guys? In order for me to be able to handle all of this, I must take care of myself first. I must have compassion for self before I can have it for you. And so we really have to begin to take control and to demand that we have that time for ourselves. So what does that look like? What does that sacred intimacy really look like?
Well, the first how I started was, I had to really begin, and this really kind of rewinds back to when my son was small, because I had to train him. See, children are trainable. Everybody's trainable. Your husband's are trainable. Everybody's trainable. To let them know that at this time, in this space, I am not to be disturbed. And you let them know that they cannot disturb you. I used to put a sign on my bathroom door to say, Mommy's under reconstruction. So my son knew for an hour he could not tap on that door. Okay? Until eventually he got to that place of understanding that Mommy doesn't want to be
disturbed.
When Mommy come out, she's going to be a little more loving than she was when she went in.
Okay. You know, and that's so true, because I'll tell you, my husband knows when I go into the bedroom in the evening, he does not come in. He says, I know it's your quiet time. And I go in and I pray and I meditate and I shower or take my spiritual bath. And it takes, you know, it takes that hour. And then I come out and he's like, okay. And I've been doing that for years, but yes. They can be programmed, and they will respect you when you respect yourself. They'll honor your wishes, but you have to be the one to initiate it.
Right. You have to do that, and people will then respect that. When you honor you, people will honor you. Mm-hmm. The other thing I did was that I had to make a list of the things that I loved and should hate, mm-hmm. and a list of the things that I hate and should love.
Like?
Okay, the things that I hate and should love, I hate exercising, but I should love it, right?
Well, I'm not quite sure if you should love it, but yeah, I get your point.
Right, you know, so things that I love Häagen-Dazs butter pecan ice cream, but I should hate it.
Oh, absolutely, you should hate it, yes.
You know?
There's nothing any good for you.
Right. Or some women are trapped in relationships that are abusive, and they should hate it. But emotionally, they're tied to it, so they're loving it. So it's important for us to be able to really distinguish what in my life that I hate that I really need to be giving some attention and energy to, and what are those things in my life that I am loving that is not healthy for me.
Wow.
That's depleting my energy. It's important that we know what our energy depleters are and what our energy fillers are. What motivates you? What drives you? What puts you in that place that's going to charge you and give you the energy that you need effortlessly.
Absolutely.
To do the things you need to do?
Mm-hmm.
But then what are those things that you resist that caused you to hit that brick wall and create stress and anxiety? And then as women, I said in my book, I love the word kryptonite. You know, when we back up against the wall and we're feeling uncertain or we're feeling threatened with uncertainty or love or fear, then women can have some of the most, dangerous kryptonite that, you know, we can put some things out there into the universe that can be extremely destructive.
Absolutely, yeah.
But we must become aware, so therefore we must put together a list to identify what are those things that are existing, because some of those things are serving as barriers and blocks.
Mm. Yeah, and once they're removed, boy, I talk about the freedom, right? The freedom.
Right.
Give yourself permission
yeah.
to actually live a better life, a more fulfilling life, a happier self.
Right. You can't make changes. And see, actually, you know, I love the word when people say, well, I need to change. Well, no, see, change is the end result. Change is really the end result. What you want after going through your process is to be changed.
Absolutely.
So we have to figure out in baby steps and giant steps, wherever we are in our levels of consciousness and faith, that what do I need to do and give yourself permission to do it. And then look at your list of what do you hate that you should love and what do you love that you should hate, because that list is going to show you where your blocks, your challenges, where your barriers are, and why you can't get to the next level.
Amen. Wow. Yeah, that's actually really powerful. Really powerful. Now, what would you say then, what is this sacred emotion? How does that, you know, work in all of this?
Well, we've kind of talked about all of that, because the sacredness means that it's important to you. You value it.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When it's sacred to you, you bring it close into you. I'll give you an example about sacredness, sacred space. If you stick your arm straight out in front of you, mm-hmm. from your fingertips to your heart, your chest, mm-hmm. that is your sacred auric field.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that comes into that from your fingertips to your chest can either love you and build you up, or it can hurt you or destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not feeling that connectivity with our divine power of honoring the sacredness to the level that we become the gatekeeper for what we let come in there. Because, see, our basic emotions is joy, happiness, and fear, and hate. So if you're not monitoring what comes into that sacred space, then that emotion is going to take on a body that is external to you, and it has already identified what your weak link is, and it will attack.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Definitely. So how do we, well, and we talked about this too, to nurture our sacred body temples for spiritual clarity. So it really is about taking the time, setting those boundaries and starting to do that raising of your vibration and taking time out for yourself. So give us, besides the spiritual bath, how do we create this sacred space for ourselves, especially, you know, someone who's really busy? So how do we begin to create that sacred space?
The first step in creating your sacred space is going to be identifying a place in your home.
Okay.
Identify a place in your home where you can have either candles or an altar of a particular room. It can be your bathroom, it can be your bedroom, it can be a separate room. That's the first place. Because we are human beings, we have to create an environment for the humanness to transform.
Okay.
And then after we have gotten that place, meditation is the key.
Mm-hmm.
It is a key. And I call my meditation the sacred tours, because you're going to go on a sacred tour, a vision tour. And within that vision tour, you're going to allow yourself to be still. And if I can just speak on meditation for a minute, most people go into meditation thinking that I can sit down on the floor, sit in my favorite chair, close my eyes, and I can meditate. It doesn't work that way. It may take months before you actually tap into stillness, because stillness is and silence is the most powerful tool that you have as a human being. When you shut everything down on the external world and you allow yourself to become quiet, then you are able to have the visions of everything that you've done throughout the day pass away. And yesterday passed away,
mm-hmm.
and last week passed away, and last month passed away, and so on and so forth, until you're going to hit that place where you're totally blank.
And
that's when you make direct contact.
And that is a wonderful place, called the void, called the still point, whatever you want to call it. Boy, when you're in the gap, it is absolute peace and stillness. You know, for me, I see, wow, I feel myself fall. I move into the dimensions, and it's so amazing, because, you know, you and I, we've shared, but as you really go through the process and you can move through the dimensions and come to that space where there's colors and energy, it definitely is worth working through it. You know, but how do you quiet yourself for those beginners? What do you suggest for the quieting? Because the meditation is so important, and everyone has a different way of doing it. And so that's why I always like to find out from my guests what their little secret is, because, you know, it might work for someone and then it might not work for someone else. So, you know, if you would share with us your little secrets.
Quiet is a process. You don't get quiet like instantaneously. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
The realm of silence is not, but there are steps that you can take to prepare you to get to that place. On my sacred Sunday is the time that I traditionally will shut off telephones, shut the ringers off, no television. Can we exist without a TV, a telephone, an iPad, or whatever? And exist in your home. Cook dinner in silence. Clean your house in silence. You will be amazed at what spirit will show you.
You know, and
it
now...
scary.
And... for some listening, that might seem a little severe, and so I'm going to offer this suggestion, okay? Because we want to go in baby steps. So why don't you, before you get out of bed or when you, you know, in the morning or when you're going to bed at night, take 10 or 15 minutes of silence and just sit there and allow yourself to really just connect and not to talk, or sometime throughout that day, have a 10 or 15 minute break where you're just with self and you're silent and you turn everything off and then see what happens. And then, you know, if you're moved, expand on it, because the silence is just wonderful and there's so much peace there. But a lot of times, you know, that your head won't let you shut down. And so I would suggest doing it in baby steps. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, build up to 20 minutes, so that you don't go into shock.
Well, you know, I kind of go straight in for the juggler here. But I'm saying, and I said that because you would be, if you can allow, but see, let's go back to honoring you.
Okay.
Because if you can, when you honor you, you honor God.
Mm-hmm.
And so are we really saying to God, I can't give you 8 hours because I got too much other stuff to do. I can't get silent enough for you to speak to me, to guide me, to direct me. I'm praying and I'm asking for answers, but I'm not being still and quiet enough to get them.
Whoa.
Oh. And so... this is not about what we can do or what we should be controlling. It's about allowing us to surrender so that God has the space to come in, to talk to us, and give us the answers that we're seeking. But he can't do it if we're constantly having noise and chatter around, and then we're wondering why we're not getting any answers.
Yeah.
So I know it, but my question is, isn't the divine worth it?
Absolutely. Indeed.
See, wow. Tithing comes in so many forms, and tithing does not necessarily always have to be monetarily. I'm going to tithe noise. I'm going to bring silence in. I'm going to test myself and see if I can make it 5 hours in a day in my home, because my home is my sacred space. This is the space that I was blessed to have, and so I'm going to tithe everything in it to silence so that the Spirit can come through me and guide me, because he can never speak to us when we constantly got chatter or thought flowing through the mind. He's not going to even approach you as long as you have chatter and other energy coming through the mind. Spirit is silent. It moves slowly. It speaks softly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not paying attention, you'll miss it.
Absolutely.
And there's no coming back and saying, oh, can you repeat that? Oh, Lord, I missed that.
Yeah, not so much. Now, you know, I don't want to go without talking about your Nirvana Institute of Awareness. So briefly, if you would give us an overview of how you came to creating this institute and what it's all about. And then I know you have workshops coming up in the Chicago area, but you're also going to be doing some things online. So let's go over that briefly, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, well, Nirvana Institute of Awareness is a series of workshops that really help individuals to identify the world they created. And it's a coaching mechanism where I have an approach in which I use an organizational structure to get individuals to understand how they are the executor of their life. And as human beings on this planet, we basically have six areas of our life that we must govern. Those six areas are the spiritual side of us, our health, our finances, the professional, our career, professional side of us, our family, and then our social or community affairs. And when we sit down to really talk about, I want to have the optimal life, I want to create the life of bliss, we must first look at what have we created over the past 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And many of us have this. It's not. But when you take everything that you have created out of your head and put it on paper and look at what you have developed, it becomes an awakening. Because when we talk about spiritual development, oh, are you spiritual? Oh, yes, I'm spiritual. Oh, okay. Well, then write down five things that you do to develop that side of you. And most people can say, well, I go to church and I read the Bible. All right. Anything else? Wow. Okay. Then that's it. Do you read books? Do you read, do you meditate? Mm-hmm. Do you take your sacred bath? What are the things that you are doing to develop that side of the life? And the key word here is to develop, because we're not just living life by happenstance. We're trying to make sure that we guide ourselves toward creating that life. But many of us have to undo some areas in our life to get it on track. Mm-hmm. Everything that we've created is not bad, but there are some areas that may be underdeveloped, and the reason why we're not getting to that goal that we have set for ourselves, because we have not looked at going back to the barriers. What are the things that we are subconsciously doing that that are serving as energy depleters, that's taking things away from us that we're not aware of? Mm-hmm. So when you put it on paper, then it looks a little different than when we think about our lives in our mind.
Exactly. You know, even those aspects, because, you know, I always talk about the programming and how we've been falsely programmed, or the, you know, and how that then goes into our core belief and in our subconscious. And then it, you know, that runs the show. And so even when we start to examine what does that look like, what are the things that you're actually experiencing in your life that you've been creating for yourself that you don't want, you really have to acknowledge, what does that look like? Does it look like a job that you're in this rut and you've been going to it every single day and yet you're not fulfilled? So you really have to determine those things that aren't serving you if you are to make that internal change, right? Or if we were to fix it, we have to acknowledge what it is that we're looking at. And it's in every aspect. So in those six categories, you're saying to really acknowledge then what in those things work and what in those things aren't working.
Right, because we are the director over all of those things. The greatest gift man has is choice. So whatever you have in your life, you brought it in. You had the divine choice to bring it in, but you also have a divine choice to take it out. So this is the beginning of the new year, and people are saying, well, I want to be healthy. I want to be fit. I want to change my diet. Well, what are the things that you are doing to develop it? Are we making behavioral changes in learning how to cook differently? Are we taking our medication? If the doctor said that we have the bunkers and the conquerors, are we taking the medication to get rid of it and to heal the body? Mm-hmm. Are we taking the herbs? Are we drinking the right kind of things? So we have to take a look at our actions and what are we doing or not doing so that we can get to that wholeness, that wonderful life that mentally we have in our minds.
And that we deserve.
And that we deserve. But oftentimes we don't want to do the work.
Exactly. You know, and it's so funny because we can just speak out in vain. You know, we'll just talk at the top of our head and it's like you have to mean it and understand, you know, we really have to begin to take power for our thoughts. And it's like if you want to be the change, well, then you have to do the internal work. And so really, I really get that. What does it look like? How does your life unfold for you? You know, because the one about diet, everyone always starts that one at the beginning of the year, right? I'd like to lose 10 pounds. Okay, what are you going to do about it? And how is that really, how are you going to make sure that it happens and that you don't have to go back and seesaw back and forth? So you really, really have to examine what have I been doing in the past to get me to this point so that I can fix that and then maneuver, make the changes and keep going. If I don't address what I've been doing, then I can't really fix the issue at hand without looking at the history of it.
Absolutely. And I want to still go back to silence, because silence will tell you what you see. When you open the gateway for spirit to come in, spirit will guide and tell you exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. We don't have to figure it out. We just need to trust the process. And that is the challenge that we're having, is trusting the process. Because some of us, you know, we don't take lightly letting somebody else guide us, particularly if we can't see it, touch it, feel it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's that faith.
Okay.
It's that faith thing. You want me to do what? Yeah,
right.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I can't see it. You want me to trust? Okay. you know, so that is, we have to recognize what are these things that we are not trusting. Trust is an integral part in this whole process because, you know, we believe, but we don't trust. And the two must go hand in hand. In the biblical story, when we talked about John and Peter, Peter did not go into the tomb first. John did, because love had to guide faith.
Mm. Well, there you have it.
So my message is a little radical. It is a little hard, but we have to stop sugarcoating. We are at the place now, at this time, in this new millennium, that sugarcoating and making excuses are no longer acceptable.
Thank you. They don't get you anywhere.
Huh?
I said, they're not going to get you anywhere. You're going to get all that you've been getting. If you want to really make a change, guess what? Put your big girl panties on and let's get down to business.
Absolutely.
Now, we're actually in the last minute or so, so let's give out some contact information for you, because you actually do spiritual readings. And so I want people to be able to connect with you. Of course, they'll be able to come back to my host page and see your email and everything. But you want to give out your telephone number where people can actually reach you and further their counseling, as it were?
Yes. I can be reached at 773-245-3033. At any time. My appointments for the spiritual readings and channelings are between 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I will make some exceptions depending on where people are living. I can also be reached at two emails, Sacred Sundays, just how it sounds, Sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, and Sundays, with an S, at att.net. And I can also be reached at Nirvana Institute. Nirvana is N-I-R-V-A-N-A, Institute, at att.net.
Well, Dionne, I want to thank you. This has been absolutely a pleasure, and we must do it again soon. So take care, and I will talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. And so there you have it, everyone. This has been Affirmations for a Living, and you know that it is my sincere desire to help us move through this thing called life. And so be blessed. Take care. Until next time, check out my website, affirmationsforliving.net, and connect with me. Follow me on Facebook. And you know I have a new smartphone app, Awakened, Awakened. So be blessed. Take care. Till next time.